people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuskin Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuskin. Welcome to another edition of the Bob Tuskin Show. We have a very shocking and telling show for you tonight. There's a gentleman by the name of Brian Hill. He was with a website that you may remember called USWGO. Brian was very active in the movement, whatever that is or isn't, and was at the cusp of taking on a very influential politician. Brian was also in the center of a Righthaven dispute many years ago that singled him out and went after him because, of course, not only was he supposedly using content that was copyrighted, but as you know, Righthaven went against a lot of people, and he took it to court. And, well, there was a huge story behind that you might recall, and he eventually had to take down a lot of his stuff, and it was quite the victory for George Orwell's 1984 world that we live in. Well, about 2 years ago now, or maybe a year ago, Brian was targeted by the feds. And for those that don't know, Brian has a... let's go ahead and bring him on. I'll let him tell his story from here on out. Brian Hill joins us tonight on the Bob Tuskin Show. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good,
man. I'm glad to have you. I know you've been through a lot over this past year, but we'll definitely do what we can to get the word out on this stuff, man, and tell people about your story and hopefully make sure that it doesn't happen to anybody else. But you were definitely singled out as an activist, and you've spent the last 10-plus months in jail, and you've gone through some horrific treatment. But let's kind of break down what the precursor to all of this was, what led up to this, what the charges were, and so on and so forth. And Brian, you also have a mild form of autism, right?
Yeah.
What are you, you have, not that it matters, but I think it's important to note because, you know, these sickos in the government will go after those who perhaps may be a bit more vulnerable. You're one of the best writers I've seen, so obviously this autism has nothing to do with your intelligence, but you have a mild form of autism known as Asperger's, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start off with what led up to your arrest. What were you working on at the time, and what were you at the brink of breaking and being able to expose at that time, now over a year ago?
If you're referring to before the police raid that led up to all this?
Correct.
Basically, I was involved in something referred to as the Nullify NDA petition. And I gave it to State Senator Philip Edward Berger Sr. around May 15, 2012. And then right up to that point, I had gotten over 200 physical signatures when nobody else in the county would do anything about the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2012. And so after that, I was was waiting to hear back from Berger's office after he received the petition in front of cameras. It was being recorded, so he couldn't refute that. He couldn't refute that he received the petition. So then I didn't hear anything from him, but then I got a email from Brian Holloway, the North Carolina State House of Representatives, and he said he's a yes on a bill to go against the National Defense Authorization Act. And then, of course, Burt Jones, another state rep, didn't do anything about it. And Phil Berger, of course, didn't do anything. So then I created an article about him not doing anything, which reached Infowars.com. It got all over the place. And right after that, I was putting the phone numbers of his office and asking people to go and call into him. Then, of course, days after that, I finally got a call from his constituent liaison, Sarah Riggins. She called in and said, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the verdict. He's not going to do anything unless there are twin bills in the Senate. Then, you know, basically they just weren't going to do anything. And then that's when I asked her, are you going to put this in writing? Are you going to put this in any way where I can tell the American people that Phil Berger's not doing anything? She said no. It's not going to be publicly a verdict. They're not going to put it in writing. I then asked her if I could record the phone call, and she got mad about that too. And that's when I decided to just go forth and publish an article about him betraying his constituents, and that was the beginning of the roller coaster ride in the town of Mayodan.
Shortly after all of this, Brian was raided by the police. And, Brian, you strike me as the type of guy who has never done anything illegal.
Yeah.
You know, not many of us can say that. I certainly can't. But you strike me as, you know, a pretty good guy. You were living with your grandma at the time?
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, with my mom.
You were with your mom. Okay. And here you are one night, and kind of break down what exactly happened. Let's talk about the police raid and what they told you the pretext was and the treatment you experienced as a result and so on and so forth.
It's okay if I bring up the last part before the raid started?
Oh, please. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So then after that, I started getting a little bit more aggressive in my campaign. Like, I started going to his fan page, and I started talking to his fans. I let them know Berger's betraying his constituents. They need to vote for somebody else. Then I started looking into another Republican that was running against him named Bobby Coffer. I started contacting him and, you know, let him know I was going to fully support him. And then he told me that Berger's got his hands in the State Board of Elections, and he's got, like, the back doors to this type of stuff. And when he told me all that, I was like, what? And so then I started doing more digging into this guy, and then I started publishing articles about his campaign contributors, and two of those campaign contributors are the banks that's basically a part of the globalist agenda, Bank of America and Wells Fargo. And so then right after that, I tried to get another, like, a town resolution against the NDAA, and Berger shot that down in the town council because he's the town attorney, not just the state senator, which is a conflict of interest. So then after that, I decided to publish something on We Are Change North Carolina and USWGO, stating that I'm going to confront State Senator Phil Berger at the Mandan Town Council and ask other people to show up with me so I can ask him some questions, hardball questions. And then I went there. Nobody could make it. I was on my own. I went up there, and right towards the end of the town council, when Caruso was keeping a watch on me, he's the chief of police of the town of Mayodan, he kept a close eye on me. which one of the videos online shows. Right after that, I went up to Phil Berger and asked him, why did you take no action on Nullify NDAA? And I told him that I was pressed, USWG Alternative News, and we are Change North Carolina. He said, I'm not going to answer your question. And then the chief of police grabbed me and said, closed session. And after that, tried to escort me out of the town council. And right after that, I asked him, I need to get my stuff. And he let me get my stuff. And right when I was packing all my camera-type stuff up, he came back up to me and said, you could have carried a gun in there. If you go up to that state senator again, I will push you back. And right after he threatened me, I was like, it got to the point where I was in tears. And after I left, I written an article about that. And that was when the Mandan police started harassing my mom. Like, my mom went to Dollar General. And right as she was walking to Dollar General, the Mandan police started pulling up beside her. And they started asking her, where do you live? There's a girl walking around. And I think they might mean a child. They were asking where the child was. And my mom didn't know what they were talking about, and then they're asking, where do you live? And she pointed to the house that I lived in at the time, and then after that, they kind of just disappeared, and that was around July 12, 2012, and then 8 days later, according to their own report, that was when I was supposed to be downloading child porn, according to their report. That's when I was supposed to be doing the crime they said I did, but I didn't do it. And instead, what happened was I got a virus on my computer, which I had never gotten before. This email file started popping up in the task manager, along with several other EXE files, and I thought that was a little weird. And it started sucking up the hard drive space till it reached 0 kilobytes, and right after that, I tried to fight this virus all I could, and I finally managed to defeat it, and then by the time that happened, that was when the downloading stopped, when it stopped doing the dirty deed, but it was enough for the police to be able to conduct a search warrant, and that's when they went up to the district attorney office of Phil Berger Jr., the son of the state senator Phil Berger Sr., and the police detective that was a part of the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, the only member involved throughout my entire criminal case, he has a sister that works for that district attorney. So Bridge went over to the district attorney office and worked on getting the search warrant completed, and then right after that, that's when they decided to raid my home.
Wow, that was definitely quite the buildup, and you know, is this a small town? Is this a small district? Because based on the your story, it certainly seems like, and it certainly seems like there's a good old boy network in place here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of connections here, like basically when they examined my computers, they said it was going to go to the FBI, and I started doing research at the time when I was still allowed to use the internet, and I found out that the state has a crime laboratory, and so I assumed that my stuff was sent to the crime laboratory, and I kept inquiring on it, but the crime lab never responded to a single inquiry I had, and I wondered why. And right after the conviction, when I was able to look at the discovery, which I was not allowed to look at before, I found out that he never brought it to the crime lab. He conducted the analysis. The agent, the one agent, just one FBI agent, that State Bureau of Investigation, one agent did the entire analysis for child pornography. And he did it only under the supervision of one other agent, if there's even any supervision, because all the guy did was just sign off on it, saying that, okay, Rodney White did this report. And when you do research on this kind of guy, you can find hardly anything on this guy. All you find is one page that talks about how much money he's making in the state government, but that's it. He is a total ghost. There's hardly any federal cases on this guy. He's like a ghost, and right out of the blue, he just pops up and all of a sudden does the analysis. And then the funniest thing is, because he's a FBI agent of Greensboro, North Carolina, and Greensboro is in Guilford County, North Carolina, Phil Berger's jurisdiction for the districts of which he represents is Rockingham and Guilford County. So it wouldn't be difficult for Agent White to be connected with Phil Berger. And then, of course, both detectives are Facebook friends, or at least with one of the detectives was Facebook friends with Berger Jr., Ed Berger Sr. The other detective was just friends with Berger Jr. And so, with all these different connections, it shows that they're definitely well connected.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the raid itself. How did that all go down? Did they barge the door in? Walk me through the raid.
Yeah, definitely. What happened was I was working on some personal family issues, you know, regarding like my dad and stuff. And it's regarding a different, more personal legal matter. And then right after that, there was a knock on the door on August 20, 2012. And I came up to the door, and there were a pile of police at the door. And so I opened the door, and they said, "This is the Mayodan Police Department coming to conduct a search and seizure on the property for the suspicion of child pornography." And when that happened, they had guns drawn at me. The ones with the cylinders with the holes in the middle, those kind of guns. And so I believe they were semi-automatic weapons. They had them pointed at me, but then when my mom started walking up there, they put the guns down so my family couldn't see it, so they couldn't witness the intimidation. And then right after that, they had me patted down for weapons. And then my family, of course, could have hidden something, but they weren't searched. They were exempted from being patted down. I was the only one patted down. And then they started asking, "Brian, do you own any guns? Do you have any drugs in your house?" And I'm like, "No." And they started going through the house, and they started taking some of the ink refuel kit syringes and insulin syringes. And they're like, "Oh, you're doing drugs, aren't you?" And I told them, "No, I am a diabetic. I have insulin syringes." And then the other syringes is the ink refill kit. And then they're like, "Okay." And then after that, I had to sit on the porch for a few hours. They kept asking for me, only to come down into the house and talk to the police. And then they started accusing me of having a bomb in my safe, which I store like DVDs with like pictures I've taken since I was a kid, places like Pilot Mountain, Hanging Rock, all these different places, because photography is my hobby. They asked me, "Brian, do you have a bomb in there?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm going to sue you." And then he said, "It's our job. We're doing this." And then he said, something like, "They're just doing their job." And he said, "I have a family," which I understand. But the way this was being done was very crooked. And that was when Robert Bridge came up to me and he said, "What kind of porn you like to look at, Brian?" And
wow, so they were right from the get-go trying to come after you there. All right, Brian, hold that thought, man. We got to take a quick break and we'll be right back on the Bob Testman Show.
Reese. Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
All right, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. Brian is with us tonight, Brian Hill. He's gone through a tremendous amount. Steve Starrs is also with us now. Steve, I want to let you jump in here and talk to Brian for a moment, and we'll let Brian pick up where he left off. Go ahead.
Sure. Hey, Brian, this is Steve. I was listening to your show. It's quite a shocking ordeal that you went through there. You know, the question I have to ask is, and it sounds to me like all this evidence was just basically compiled and slapped upon you. And did they give you any opportunity did they tell you you're under arrest or suspicion, you have the right to attorney, you have the right to remain silent? Did they give you the Miranda rights, or did they just kind of run you through the ringer as they went through your house and went through all of this? I mean, when did you ever get any legal representation, or how did that all commence from that point on?
I was never really given a Miranda warning, or I was never really told I was under arrest. They just did the search, and the only time I ever got an attorney was when I was arrested in December 2013, and I was given a public defender, which I did everything I could to gave him all the evidence he needed, and he just threw it out and refused to conduct an investigation.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty typical, I think, from a lot of public defenders. They want to kind of move these things through, take a plea or whatever, and get on with their own little personal life. But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, all of this information and discovery and search went on without really any verification of where things were going. I heard you say that the computer and the hard drive and all this stuff disappeared or really wasn't where it was supposed to be. And, you know, again, I understand the political ramifications, so I don't want to, you know, supersede my ideas into what you're saying here. But I was just wondering along the lines as to whether you were actually ever given the options as this thing commenced to being protected as a citizen while you were under this investigation, which, you know, the police are required by Miranda and so many other stipulations to do.
Pretty much. They didn't really do anything to protect my rights. The only time they said I was free to leave was during the time I made the false confession, but a threat was made before then saying that if I did not if I did not make a false statements to the police that I'm guilty, that I would, my mother would be arrested in my place, that she would be held responsible.
Wow, that's pretty heavy-handed stuff. It sounds like something right out of, you know, Joe Stalin's Russia. You know, Bob, what do you think? Well, I caught Bob on mute here, but yeah, go ahead. Now, you remember how did this all come out, and things progressed for a certain period of time, and I guess you really weren't under arrest or charged officially for quite some time. Is that what the case was?
Yeah, the search warrant was in August 2012, and the arrest came a lot later, like in December 2013.
Okay, so it all progressed over a period of time, and you believe it had all of these political ramifications concerning the questions you were asking as the motive to hammer down hard on you, basically, as a citizen asking questions, right?
Yeah.
How did that all turn out with Burgers and such?
You mean as of right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, as it progressed, what happened with all of this?
Well, basically, the Burgers had gotten some kind of karma back for what they have done. Even though they've kept this whole investigation against me very secretive, they would not even have an agent ask me any questions. I was never asked anything by the agent. As they started putting all this through, I forgot where I was at. I was talking about now I remember. Basically, the Burgers don't like any kind of bad press. I noticed that when I looked up stuff about the Burgers, the only people that would ever criticize him seemed to be a few Democrats. And
all right, Brian, hold on again, brother. We got to take another quick break, and we'll come back and continue this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Class, who wants to pay less taxes and enjoy the same tax deductions that the rich take? At the Get Prepared Expo, I'll show you how. This is something I learned 40 years ago, and I'm delighted to teach you. What if you lose your job or your company shuts down? The plan is for you to be financially independent by starting your own business. Any business, whatever you like to do. I haven't had a job since the 1980s. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th, 150 seminars and exhibits, $8 online, $10 at the door. Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. That's how long it takes to die. At the Get Prepared Expo, we'll have pallets of Berkey and ProPure water filtration systems at the lowest prices in the country. Berkey and ProPure water filtration systems, and we'll have the lowest prices in the country on top-of-the-line Mountain House freeze-dried food with a 35-year shelf life. 150 seminars and exhibits, $8 online, $10 a day at the door. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th at the Get Prepared Expo. Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair. At bugoutpanama.com.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
Bob Tuscan Show. Sorry for being despondent in the last segment. Steve, you know, I got other stuff going on, man. I thought you'd take the reins, brother. That's why I count on you.
Oh, I'm usually expecting you to be on mute sometimes, Bob, but that's okay.
I mean, we have a I speak and I think I'm unmuted, but I'm really muted, and then it's a huge mess. But Brian's got a really important story, and
right.
I'm glad Brian's out and he contacted me, and you know, we're hoping that this is resolved and he gets some sort of retribution.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Brian, where did we leave off?
That basically the burgers do not like bad press, and so basically this burger guy, even though Burger Sr. is elected for the state senate for Rockingham and Guilford County, his son is Bill Berger Jr., the district attorney, or formerly the district attorney of Rockingham County. And so that allows his father to be able to use his son to pursue the investigation against me because, I mean, like, think of it. It's smart for the corrupt people because then they're like, oh, I don't like what Brian says, so I'm going to get my son to get an indictment against him. I'm going to get my son to pursue a criminal investigation.
Right. And it sounds to me like this good old boy network exploited something that we know has been used against activists in the past, this planting of child porn. We heard Luke Radowski found something very suspicious trying to infiltrate his computer when he left Europe and traveled from overseas and was returning. He luckily caught it, but felt as if he would have been vulnerable to being set up with child porn. And I've heard that this is a tactic used. So many people have been essentially entrapped or framed with this sort of thing. It's very scary. Brian, tell me a little bit about your experience in jail. You have diabetes. As we mentioned earlier, you have a mild form of autism. They didn't treat you too well, did they?
Mm-mm. What started all that was that before I was arrested, I found out ahead of time from a lawyer named Susan Basco that was helping Luke Rakowski and Stuart Rhodes. She was posting about how to avoid these child porn traps and telling people what to do if you do get into some kind of trap, to report it to the authorities so that it'd be an affirmative defense. And I contacted her about what happened. She came back and said, there's a federal arrest warrant on you. I freaked out. I almost attempted to commit suicide. And so then I was put under a emergency custody order and TDO, temporary detention order, to the mental hospital. And there I was picked up by Department of Homeland Security agents. And one of them was a Special Agent Cook from North Carolina, and they said they were going to kick down every single door till they found me, including kicking down the doors of the mental hospital. And then they took me and put me in Forsyth County Detention Center, and that was when they didn't really do a good job with giving me enough insulin. Like, in their system, they only give you 2 shots a day. They want to give you the least amount of insulin that they have to, and the problem was I needed 4 shots a day, because every time I eat something like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and of course the jail gives me like a snack, like an apple or peanut butter crackers, so I have to have a shot for everything I eat, and they refused to do that. They wanted to give me just 2 shots a day, and that was when my blood sugar started going high. I was vomiting out stomach acid, and the nurse came up and said, stop inducing your vomiting. And I'm like, I'm not inducing this. This is acid coming out of my mouth. And it burned the insides of my mouth, and it was horrible. It even got to the point where they were videotaping me. They were stripping me naked or having me strip, and they took video of me while they were ordering me to do all this stuff they were ordering me to do. And I felt humiliated by the way the county jails are treating me.
It's very difficult to hear your experience, Brian. You told me a little bit about your weight loss. Tell the listeners about that.
Yeah. It was going down from over 200 pounds. That was my weight that was on record before I went into the jail system, and it started going towards 140 pounds right towards the end of my stay in the county jails. And, like, I wasn't just at one county jail. The marshals try to move you from county jail to county jail. So they keep trying to move you so that if you have any commissary, they can throw it in the trash can. They can try to throw your letters away. They can try to put a stop to any kind of legal work I was doing. They can just show up and then throw stuff in the trash can. They had it fixed to where anytime I got somewhere, when I tried to send letters to the Department of Justice or even the FBI, they wanted to move me to a different county jail. and start me over there.
So they shifted you around and played all sorts of games. Forgive me again because I was despondent in the last segment, Steve, but has he gotten into the trial at all and the actual conviction?
No, not yet. I just noticed, though, that they have Berger Jr. on one of these articles here. Rockingham District Attorney accused of violating sex offenders' rights. I don't know if you saw that. This is from September 23rd, 2013, but it says in the Rockingham County District Attorney's violation of constitutional rights of sex offenders. Someone seems to think so. So there are even some flags going on Berger Jr. here on the same kind of a thing where they have really become kind of a crusaders, you might call them Oliver Cromwells for all this kind of activity that's going on here. And you wonder how much of it is justified and how much of it's out of control. It sounds like they're absolutely out of control in this case that we're talking about tonight, Bob.
Yeah, it does. None of this surprises me, folks. It really doesn't. Brian, tell me a little bit about the trial and the conviction and what actually was testified and so on and so forth.
Well, basically, whenever I was in jail, he wouldn't show me all the discovery. The public defender would not show me everything, so I made a lot of assumptions. He even lied and said the FBI is analyzing my computers, and there's a report on that. And later on, I tried to write the FBI asking them to look into all the evidence I had, and they wouldn't respond to me. And later on in the discovery, which was after the conviction, I found out there was no FBI. It was just the FBI report from a single agent. And but anyways, what happened was I tried to help the public defender to get me ready for trial. I started putting in stuff to try to get the evidence suppressed, and I told him because I was coerced and I could get an autism expert in there, I'd be able to get it suppressed on the grounds of being threatened and coerced and the fact that I have a mental disability. And Plackey told me, I do not support your motion to suppress. And then I asked him, what would happen if I were to get these suppression motions to succeed? And he said it would weaken the government's case. And so then right after that, I was sent a letter around the same time that that he did everything he could to sabotage the suppression hearings. He said, Brian, I've got a good offer for you for a plea agreement. And, you know, the government wants this, the best deal. And their best deal was home detention, electronic monitoring. They wanted to do all kinds of crazy stuff to me, and I told them, no, I'm not going to do it. And I started trying to send motion after motion to the U.S. District Court, but every one of those motions I tried to file never made it to the U.S. District Court, as if they would no longer accept my motion. So right after that, then they started dragging me on to the jury trial. And right when that happened, I was like, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to fight this, even if the public defender is not going to do anything. And after that, my family started saying, take the plea agreement, take the plea agreement. And unfortunately,
this is a common tactic, by the way, you know, try to bully somebody into a plea agreement. And that way you have to admit guilt. And, you know, it's a bullying tactic. It's a common MO of this sort of thing. But go ahead. What, your family started to pressure you, and then what?
Yeah, the reason why was because Plackey was, at that point I tried to get another attorney, and I told Plackey about the attorney that wanted to represent me and might even take the case over, and he said, I'm going to get in touch with them. Right after he got in touch with the head person from there, he came back and said, they're not going to represent me because they're not criminal defense attorneys. That was his claim. And then they were telling my family, if I don't take the plea agreement, I'm going to be found guilty and face 20 years. And whenever I, again, refused to take the plea agreement right before I took it, Plackey was running around the courtroom all mad. He looked like mad, and my family could tell he was angry, and right after that, they told me to take the plea. Right after that, his anger became a smile. He started smiling really happy. Like, whenever I was thirsty, he went over and to the water jug on the table and went up and gave me some water, and he's like, okay, good, you're taking the plea agreement. And that's when I asked him, before I did it, if there was any way I could still overturn my conviction, even if I take the plea agreement, and he said yes, but it would have to be on new evidence. And that's when I decided to just go along with it and see if my family had a secret plan. And later that day, after I took the guilty plea, even though I'm not really guilty, they told me there was no plan. I was going to face 20 years in prison. And that sunk me into a depression for days to almost a week. And right after that, I decided I'm going to try to send letters to the SBI, the FBI, the DOJ. I was going to send letters letting them know that I was set up, that I have evidence to prove my innocence. They could do a forensic investigation for viruses on the computer. And right after that, I started sending all these letters.
Wow, I think you kind of did the right thing. Because, you know, I mean, what you've got to do in some of these cases is you can't cower down to them. You've got to, you know, retrieve your materials. You've got to do the investigation. If they're planting things on your machinery, which they can do evidently all over the Internet, we've seen this before. I mean, this needs to be addressed. And you're a brave young man, Brian, you know, to stand up for all this. And I think it's sad that your family and all the people around you are also being coerced and pressured by these same kinds of people. But the reality is you know, there's a difference between political accusations that are orchestrated as criminal attacks. We've seen this all over in this country today. And the real criminals who are out there, and it sounds to me like in this case, this was clearly a case of trying to pressure you. And then once they got into it, now they're finding themselves in a lot of trouble trying to maintain this accusation instead of just dropping it and moving on. They're not doing it. And I think you're doing the right thing by coming out and being public about it.
I agree. What happened when you sent out these letters to the FBI and everyone else? Did you ever get any response?
For months, they were just ignoring it. And I found out later that the motions were never docketed before the jury trial. And right after that, when I was getting the psychosexual evaluation as a part of the pre-sentence investigation report, I told them I was set up. I told them about the burger connection. I tried to give them as much facts as I could, and then he labeled me with delusional disorder, persecutory type, where, oh, I'm delusional because I believe I'm being persecuted for a crime I didn't commit.
It's, what's the saying, Steve? It's only paranoia if it's not true?
Yeah, right. It's only paranoia if there's nothing connected to it that would make you paranoid, right? Yeah. Well, we see here, of course, as that story that I read, there are some questions about the prosecution of many of these cases with Phil Berger Jr. there in Rockingham County. And so, I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened, apparently.
No, and I found out that there was a registered Democrat in Guilford County that there was weird stuff about this guy. Like, one person told me that a woman sent me an email with the claim that he was a Fox 8 reporter formerly, and his bail was set real low for such a heinous crime of child pornography, and his bail was only like $25,000, and there were some red flags with his case, and it was in Guilford County, Gustavo Alberto Rosato, and then there was other ones. Now, what led me to looking at that was there were people that were attacking certain people accused of this crime of being Tea Party. Like, this person was making comments saying, good, we're going after the Tea Party. They're doing stuff like this, and I feel like they're trying to demonize political activists as trying to paint them as pedophiles, child pornographers.
Well, it's an easy thing to pin on somebody, it seems like. And it's such a deplorable thing to pin on somebody because, you know, it just instantly invokes, you know, emotions of hate. And, you know, everybody can't stand somebody who would be that kind of a pervert. And the truth is we can look at Boys Town and all of the countless other pedophile rings that really are out there that are that of which the politicians and some of these same scumbags that you're talking about actually do take part in, and so on and so forth. So we'll take our last break, if I can speak here, our last break of the night, and we'll come back with Brian Hill, a political activist and somebody who is being targeted and has been targeted, and we'll finish up tonight's Bob Jeskel Show.
The Bob Jeskel Show.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try iodine now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Or visit microplantpowder.com. Microplantpowder.com.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015, with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who will shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free Your Mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt.
Welcome back to the Bob Jeskel Show. Final segment tonight. Brian, what's next for you, my friend? What do you plan on doing at this point on? What would you like to make people aware of, and what's your next steps?
Well, I was able to get in before all this was over, before I was convicted. I was able to file a lot of pro se motions. And those pro se motions is what's going to get the press to look at it and investigators to look at it and see at least a portion of the evidence that I really wanted to present. And because I put in those pro se motions, it gives me a very good chance to get it appealed, even though it was one-sided. So As of right now, under docket number 15-4057, United States Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, I am appealing the decision by Judge William L. Osteen Jr., and I'm looking to get it back either to a jury trial or that because I've got more and more evidence than I did when I was in jail, I might be able to succeed in a petition for the writ of habeas corpus due to new evidence that has come up. Like, I've received whistleblower text messages, per se, that basically showed a document from the FBI, the same document that I know is in the discovery, so I know it's authentic, and the whistleblower's revealing that child porn was downloaded in 2013 on the very same computer that was downloaded in, on the very same computer that was seized in 2012. And so, I think the reason they did that was because I made a false confession and I told a random number, like they said, how long have you been downloading it? I said about a year or so, even though it's not true. So they tried to fix the report to make it look like I downloaded it for a year, exactly as my false confession said, but the computer was not in my possession after August 2012. So for most of the year that if that's on their record, child porn was downloading when it was not in my possession. So the question is, who was downloading the child porn in the State Bureau of Investigation? And so I've sent a fax to the Attorney General recently asking for an investigation into FBI Agent White, Rodney White, so that I want to find out why is it saying that child porn was downloaded in 2013 on the computer that was seized in 2012. That's like saying, we did it, but Brian took the guilty plea, so I'll never be able to challenge it. But I'm challenging it. That's why I am appealing it.
Good for you, man. Keep us up to date. I'm glad you're out now. How long ago did you get out?
I got out around November 13th, 2014.
Okay, so you've been out now for a couple months at least. And what took you so long to come back out and tell your story?
Well, it took me a while to try to get in touch with all my friends, and it took a while to try to start even getting in touch with Popeye, and I had to go through my hard drive just to find, like, contact information that was cached on the computer, because I can't even use the internet until I get permission from the probation office, so...
Yeah, so they prevented you from using the internet and essentially quashing any of your recourse and your outlets to get to all of your alternative media connections. Well, I'm glad you were able to finally get in touch with me. We were able to get your story out tonight. Brian, thanks so much, man. I'm sorry you've had to go through all this. And definitely stay in touch with me and let me know what happens, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, take care, brother. All the best. That does it for us tonight on the Bob Tuscan Show. FreeYourMindConference.com. Please join us in Philadelphia, PA, April 10th, 11th, and 12th. Steve, love you, man. Thanks so much.
Sure, appreciate it.
See you at the conference. And until then, have a great night, folks. Love you.
This has been another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show. Activism in action. Now go plant some seeds. With financial.